Back here at Brunton Park, we've got the Cumberland Cup final coming up very, very shortly. And the Penrith manager, Darren Edmondson, has joined BBC Radio Cymru Sports, John Walsh.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Darren, welcome to Brunton Park.
Yeah, good evening.
The north face of the Eiger up
here.
Yeah,
it's high up here, isn't it? It's lovely. Yeah.
Now then, underdogs tonight, you'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah. Oh, I'd like to see, you know, it's a good game. Obviously, I know Worker and play the right way. We're trying to play the right way, so hopefully it'll be a good spectacle. And as we look across there now, there's a few fans coming in, so that'll be good for the players if we can get maybe even reach a couple of hundred in here tonight.
You had a good finish to the season. You were in relegation trouble, but you got out of it nicely with a win against the champions final game. How has the team changed from that you're putting out tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty similar, to be honest. I've got a couple that are playing, but we might see them retired at some point because they're struggling a little bit with injuries, Cruz and Coombs. So they were a doubt. But they've been really good for us this year, so we've had to include them, and we'll see what happens. But the subs are sort of been picked around who's missing and who might be a doubt. So, yeah, we're as strong as we can be, I think, yeah.
And Workington, of course, you appreciate how much they put into Saturday's effort, and it was a terrific win for them in the end. They'll be coming on a high, obviously.
Yeah, and they had a great weekend, didn't they? And they've left a few of the older bodies out, shall we say. So, you know, but they've got a lot of young talent in their squad, their development team. So that's great for them boys to be on this pitch as well and playing in a Cumberland Cup final on Brunton Park. You know, that's where everybody wants to play, isn't it?
And a star name in goal from Workington's past, Aaron Taylor, played some great games for Workington.
Yeah, he'll probably get our player of the season from the players, I think. If he doesn't, I'll be surprised. He's been outstanding again, and you know, he's one of the reasons that we finished 14th, I think. Let's not, you know, deny that. We didn't score enough goals, but his communication, his saves, his experience, his organisation is valuable.
And I know you've said this before, let's finish on this one. Billy Williams, the Penrith chairman, put such a lot into the club. You'll be absolutely, I know you are, absolutely delighted that he's got a showpiece like this to end the season.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic for him. I think, I saw him before, I think he might have bought a new jacket, Walshy, as well, just for the evening. I don't know.
It didn't
smell of the back of his wardrobe like some of them do, so I think he spruced himself up for tonight. But yeah, it's great for the chairman. Everybody at the club knows how long he's been there and knows what it means to him, so I was delighted when we got through to this. Added to that, it was either going to be Workington or Carlisle in the final, so yeah, it's what he's in charge for, his nights like this, so this is about him really.
Great, mate. Thanks very much, Darren. If you could be prepared to climb up again at the end of the season, end of the game, we'll have a chat then.
I'll race, Danny. Cheers.
There you go, the Penrith manager, Darren Edmondson, there speaking to BBC Radio Cumbria Sports, John Walsh, ahead of tonight's Fred Conway Cumberland Cup final. It's Penrith against Workington, as you say, two sides that very much had successful seasons in their own right. Workington achieving that amazing promotion, Penrith, of course, guaranteeing themselves survival and putting in a great show on the final game of the season. Delighted to say that we have now been joined by our commentary team for this evening in John Walsh and, of course, the former Workington star and Penrith manager, of course, Matt Henney. Very good evening, gents.
Yeah, good evening. I'm sorry we were late, but it would take another 10 minutes to tell you where we've been, wouldn't it, Matt?
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Yeah, we couldn't find where to leave the car. We didn't know which stand we were in. We were doing laps at the stadium, so we've got it in the end. We've had a good run up the steps. Walsh, you beat me, so well done, John.
The last time I was here, Adam, actually, when I think it was a cup final as well, a county cup final, and previous times, the press box and all the commentators were done from the other stand, the main stand across the pitch, so that's where we were really heading for, and until we were told everything was round here. Then we couldn't get in, so we walked back round after parking the car back down, and we've just been able to cross the pitch and finally made the north face of the Eiger to chat to you.
And of course, absolutely fantastic that you're both here tonight. I mean, it's a great spectacle, isn't it? A Cumberland Cup final. I mean, Matt, you were there on Saturday, and just wanting to try and continue that buzz, isn't it? I mean, two sides that will be wanting to generate that kind of buzz tonight.
Yeah, you know, I know the boys will have been out and had a couple of late nights, won't they? I spoke to Danny. Danny told me that there was nothing left in the bar at Borough Park at the end of the game. So then they went up into Workington with the all the Reds fans and had a great Saturday night, which, you know, they thoroughly deserved after such a tense end to the season. They've been out again on Sunday. So, you know, if I was Penrith, I'd be I'll be trying to take advantage of that, although it's a little bit of a mixed side that Danny's picked here. Penrith could be maybe looking to try and jump on Red's lack of preparation, as you will.
Nine changes I make it, Matt, looking at the Workington lineup tonight, and nine changes from the starting lineup. Eight names, nine different positional changes, and one, two, three players who were involved on Saturday are on the bench. Have you been through the teams, Adam?
I haven't yet. Walsh, yeah, I was waiting for the man himself to do it. So there you go, John Walsh now with the team news for tonight.
Yeah, Workington's lineup is Danny Eccles, the captain, is in goal in place of Jim Atkinson. Now you've played with Danny over the years, Matt, and he's done really well when he's been brought in to deputise for Atkinson, and you certainly rate Danny as a number one keeper.
Yeah, back in my managerial days at Penrith, actually, Danny come to help me out, and he played for a number of months for me, and he was he's different class, really calm, composed, commands his area really, really well, great shot stopper, ticks all the boxes really. So you know obviously Jim's quality as well, we've seen how good he is with his distribution and the same things, at commanding his area really well. I think Working will miss the distribution of Jim tonight, but I don't really think Danny Eccles is much of a downgrade, to be honest. Danny will do well.
Yeah, Danny Eccles in goal then. The two fullbacks, Matty Clark, who was right back right throughout last season, first choice, lost his place midway through the season, but he gets his chance tonight in the cup final. He will play right back. Young Keelan Leslie, a former Carlisle United youngster, he's at left back. He's played second fiddle mainly to Charlie Birch at left back this season, but a very talented footballer in his own right. Now, there's no real recognised centre half for Workington, but Kieran Casson, who's operated there before, and Charlie Birch, who's operated in the last few weeks, deputising for Sam Smith, they will form the centre-back partnership. In midfield, it looks like Brad Hubbard, Bobby Carroll, and Lewis Moore. Lewis Moore, one of the youngsters who's Danny's been rating during the season. He's given him odd occasions on the bench. He's used him a couple of times to come on, actually, and has looked a player for the future. And up top, it will be Ben Hughes, whose season was ruined by that back injury. He's taken a long time to get himself fit, has come more into the equation in the last 6 weeks, but he wasn't among the 16 players we used on Saturday. So Ben Hughes play up front with Lewis Riley, the match winner, of course, on Saturday. And Obua Magalula, who's been with Workington since Christmas, really, training, hasn't had many opportunities, but in the County Cup he's looked a bit special. Scored goals against Windscales, against Carlisle United, and has looked a very, very good player. On the bench, Greg McCarragher, who's been recently starting at right back. One of the youngsters, Zach Martin. Zach Lester, another of the youngsters. And two men from Saturday, Ruben Jerome and Stephen Rigg. Now, onto the Penrith side. Aaron Taylor's in goal. He's a former Workington player, of course. Played many games for Workington. Jack Patrick and Matt Coombs are the two fullbacks. Andy Murray-Jones, who is a former Workington player, he's a former Workington centre-forward, has scored for the Reds. He's now operating at centre-half alongside Josh Cruz. Interesting character. He was one that Darren Edmondson knows from his time in the North East. Brought him over, has helped them out while there's been problems at the centre of the defence. Matty Moynan and Adam Main, of course, another former Workington player, and DJ Taylor are the three players who probably operate in midfield, and Luke Hunter, Alfie Brunskill and Luke Brown are the three attackers for the Bonnie Blues. On the bench, Harvey Ray, Johnny Murray, Cameron Procast, son of course of Richard Procast, the former Carlisle United midfielder, Liam Delaney and Ryan Morrison.
Yeah, certainly a good mix there of youth and experience. We'll talk a bit more in the lead-up to kick-off for tonight's game here at Brunton Park. We will carry on, though, with our look back at the weekend's action. We've heard from Workington and Carlisle. Of course, Barrow wrapped up their final game on the road for the season. They've got one game remaining at home to Stevenage on the final game. Despite securing a ninth place finish in the table, it was an afternoon to forget for the Barrow support and manager Pete Wild.
Sam McClellan's throw onto the head of George Ray, brought down on the chest by Jed Garnett. Now up to Tom White, into Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon trying to wriggle free, knocks it across, into Jed Garner, and Jed Garner's there to touch the ball into the back of the net for Barrow. 20 minutes on the clock here at Victoria Park, and silence
beckons around Victoria Park here, bar the cheers of the Barrow support on that far side. It's Barrow who strike first in a game that Hartlepool need to win. Jed Garner's second of the season, Hartlepool 0, Barrow 1.
Back into the feet of Connor Jennings. Jennings back out to Ferguson, delivers it into the box. Good touch there by Matt Dolan, trying to turn it goalwards. It's touched in the end by Jack Hamilton, and Hartlepool have got themselves that equaliser on 42 minutes. Barrow's defence switching off. Persistent from Dolan in the end paying, and Jack Hamilton chucks it away to keep Hartlepool's hopes of survival alive. Barrow 1, Hartlepool 1. Crawford out to Sterry on this right-hand side, looking to try and open Barrow up here. Jamie Sterry has done very well. Steps inside, it's another good delivery, and it's ricocheted all the way through. Nobody's got the touch on it. Jamie Sterry is going to be accredited to the goal. Hartlepool have got themselves in front. All eyes now on Crawley. 68 minutes in, it's Hartlepool 2, Barrow 1. Ball fed out to Sterry. Sterry on this right-hand side, into the box. Ricochets to Connor Jennings. Connor Jennings will wrap things up for Hartlepool. They've done their part of the bargain. They've beaten this Barrow side by 3-1, but it might still not be enough. A massive disappointment for you, really, in how your final away game of the season's panned out.
Yeah, I'm fuming. Absolutely fuming. I think what the display the players have put into today was an absolute disgrace. Not good enough at all. You know me, for 45 games, I've come up here and defended them at times when it's not been great. I'm not defending them after that. They scored early, and they thought it was going to be too easy. And they played Hartlepool, the biggest disrespect they could ever pay them. An Hartlepool player with desire, with the drive, great attitude. I thought they were great today, Hartlepool. And they taught us a lesson in staying and keeping going and driving forward. I can only apologise to the fans that have travelled today. I'm not having that. I'm not, and I can rest assured, yes, we've got a week to go. They're in next week, and I'm going to drive them. I'm not having what I've seen today.
I mean, it certainly showed in the second half, especially just how much Hartlepool wanted it. I mean, I know the game in itself meant more to them in terms of their hopes of trying to stay in the league, but just even little things down to the little 50-50 challenges and things like that, it was just every single time it was one-way traffic at times.
Everything we are, we weren't today, and Hartlepool were everything we normally are. And we just weren't there. I just said to him, you're paid professionals. In any other industry, you'd have been sacked for a display like that today. And I'm you know me, I normally try and hide away from comments I've said in the dressing room. I'm not hiding away today after that. That's poor. That is not a Barrow side that we've been celebrating this year of being so good. That was horrendous, not good enough, and I'm not having that.
With contracts being up at the end of the season, did you get the impression that one or two were maybe season done now, feet up?
I think you've answered your own question there, Adam. I think there's a couple of candidates certainly for that today. But maybe sometimes at this time of the year, you can sort yourself in or out of deals. I've got something to do over the weekend because I'm just not having it, Adam. I'm not having that. I don't care what point of the season we're at. By default, we end up ninth, which is phenomenal, but they've just let themselves down today, completely let themselves down, and I'm so angry and so frustrated with how they've played today.
I was going to say, something that does take the massive shine away from, you know, what a fantastic achievement it is, as you say, to finish ninth in the table, the highest league finish for the club in over 50 years. You know, it really was such a magnificent achievement for you, but as you say, it's going to be put to the back burner because of today's performance.
Yeah, listen, we've got Stevenage at home next week. We've got to go out and we've got to turn it on. I just said that I'm going to drive you, and if you're not up for playing Stevenage at home next week, tell me, and I'll play the ones who want to, are up for it, because we do not finish till a week on Monday. Some of them look like they'd finished at 2:30 this afternoon, and I keep saying the same words, don't I, but I think you can tell in my voice, and everyone can tell in my voice, that people have paid good money to come here today and watch our team and support them up and down the country. That's not happening again.
Obviously, the downside is going into that game next week, you are going to be forced into changes, the red cards to Harrison Neal and to Patrick Brough, and an injury to Josh Gordon. I mean, how is he looking? I know he was trying to stretch things off in the dugout, but certainly did look a bad knock that he picked up.
Yeah, we'll have to have a look at Josh, but certainly the others. Yeah, I'm frustrated with the Harrison Neal one because he has to run from behind the referee, and that was my argument with the referee, is you've got to run from behind you to tackle him. What that normally is, stop, I was in the way, I'm sorry, It's a drop ball. So that's frustrating. But I hadn't seen the Brough incident, but I think there's quite a few of them that haven't covered themselves in glory in that melee. We're 9-9 men and they're doing that, and it's poor from them.
I mean, on another note, an incident that occurred during the second half where the referee called the stoppage situation involving Paul Farm, and from our view we don't know the ins and outs. Have you been told anything about what that was for?
No, I didn't get involved. I don't know what's gone on. Farms has informed the ref. I don't know what he's informed him of. Until I know more, I can't speculate on what's gone on there.
Certainly, it brings a downside, doesn't it, to today, the way that we're talking? Because a lot of the time, I mean, when you got yourselves in front trying to look at the positive sides of today's game, I mean, the football you played to grab that opening goal, it looked like the barrow of old again.
Yeah, we played really up until the goal, and the goal's a really well-worked goal. I was really pleased with how we were playing up until the goal. We know they were going to come out strong because they're fighting for their lives, and we weathered that, and then we got into the game, and I thought we played some really good stuff. And then, like, the goal just before half-time... I mean, all three are poor to give away. You can sort of concede the third because we're down to 9 men and the lads are trying their best. But I think if you went 1-1, how many players played today? 1-4, 15? Nobody's coming off that pitch with any credit today.
And of course, it brings you to that final game in 9 days' time. The likes of Pavel Zhuk, the likes of Benny Spills, Braithwaite, both back in the camp after successful loan spells in lower levels. Are they under consideration for that final game?
Yeah, certainly. Everybody is. Everybody's under consideration. And I will put out a team that's going to go and have more fight and desire than it had today. I promise the fans that. And I'll leave you with, I'm sorry to the fans today. That ain't good enough. And I promise you, I'll deal with it.
Eurovision, it's in Liverpool and the UK, of course, hosting on behalf of last year's winners, Ukraine.
Mike Zeller at breakfast.
Plenty of coverage running up to the big day itself. The BBC's Daniel Rosny was at the official launch. Right, I need to talk about Cheryl Baker, one of the stars of Bucks Fizz, appearing in EastEnders.
So she's playing herself. What I think I've worked out is that there must be some sort of Eurovision talent show happening in the Queen Vic, and I think she must be some sort of judge.
So you think judging on a talent shows. So at some point then, Daniel, she's going to be making her mind up.
You said it before I could.
Mike Zeller at breakfast. Weekdays when you wake up.
On BBC Radio Cumbria.
Yeah, you're listening to BBC Radio Cumbria Sports on this Tuesday evening, looking ahead towards tonight's main event, the Fred Conway Cumberland Cup final between Penrith and Workington Reds. The commentary team, of course, tonight, John Walsh and the former Workington star and Penrith manager, of course, in Matt Henney. And, I mean, first and foremost, Walsh, I mean, we've just been looking back at the weekend, and although you couldn't be there, I'm very sure you will have been listening in. And Just what was it like for yourself? I mean, such a long-term stalwart for Workington Reds.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely superb. I think everybody knew who was listening last week that I wouldn't be there on Saturday. We'd committed to a school's football festival in Skegness. Went with my grandson, who's come along with me tonight. Fortunately, from my point of view, the football had finished by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I was able to get back to the chalet, because we were based on Butlin's side. Got back to the chalet and tuned in. And listen to Jordan and Matt here calling it home, as it were. It did drop out a couple of times, mine, online. First time I've really listened online, but fortunately I heard the key points and most of the game, and it was terrific. It sounded like, and Matt's confirmed that, we've had a chat on the way through, it was a very, very nervous start, it would seem, by Workington. First 20-25 minutes, fell behind to that early goal, but gradually got into it, got the equaliser. And I think in the second half and extra time, the dominant side, and deservedly, even the Runcorn fans, I think, would admit that the best team won on the day, which is great. And Workington can now look forward to playing NPL Premier Division again, which is where they were, 5 years ago. And glad to say we're back.
I mean, just how nail-biting was it for you, Walsh, you're actually sitting there and listening in, knowing that you're normally the man calling the game as it is, but having to listen from miles away on such a knife-cutting game as well?
Yeah, to be fair, I was gutted, really, when I found out that... See, the thing was, I thought they would be playing at Leake Town, actually. You know, Runcorn went and won on Tuesday. And I have to admit that I thought, you know, I said to my wife, you know, I should really be there, I think, and I want to be there. But the little fella here who's mad keen on football, he loves his football. He'd wanted me to go with him to Skegness. We'd booked in September. I wasn't going to let him down. So that's why I went. And it was, you know, you said, oh, God, I could be there. You know, there's all these people, 2,500. Could feel the tension growing, the excitement. Yeah, it would be a special game. And then when I saw the videos afterwards, the pitch invasion, the lads celebrating, you know, you wish you'd been part of it. But it wasn't to be. If we go to Skegness next year, which I thoroughly enjoyed, man, it was, you know, 2 days of football, good young teams, good young players. I enjoyed it thoroughly. There's some good talent on show. I've just told Danny, listen, win the league. We're not going to go into the playoffs next year. So he knows about that. You know, so hopefully we won't have to go through that again.
Well, of course, before all that gets underway, of course, tonight, the main event tonight, and two teams, isn't it, that want to really finish the season on a high?
Yeah, very much. I mean, Workington, having had their big moment on Saturday, I'm sure that there have been some celebrations will have gone on long into Sunday and probably even beyond by the sound of things. But you know, they'll have been focused from today. Winning the County Cup is an honour. It's an old established competition. And of course, this year it's a bit special because it's played for the first time under the name of Fred Conway, the late county chairman, who died sadly around Christmas time last year, and big miss to the county. So it's a bit special this cup final, and Workington will want to complete the double. And Penrith, of course, as we heard Darren say, complete underdogs. They're not bothered about that. I mean, even yourself, Adam, and myself, if we're a football team going into a final, I think you'd prefer to be underdogs in some ways. And, I mean, that will suit them. So they will want to finish the season with a trophy. They did really well to stay up, beat the champions in the final game, to convincingly stay up. So they're in good heart from that. I'm expecting a good competitive game.
Well, the teams are now on the pitch, now ahead of kickoff, going through the formalities. No choice of listening tonight, just that one frequency on all frequencies this evening in the company of John Walsh and Matt Henney as Workington take on Penrith in the final of the Fred Conway Cumberland Cup.
BBC Radio Cumbria Sport.